You're listening to Eye on the Ball with Steve Rivera. This podcast is a Bustos Media production on The Voice. Be sure to subscribe wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
Hey, good afternoon, everybody. Welcome to Eye on the Ball here on 1030 The Voice. I'm your host, Steve Rivera. We're going to talk a lot about UA hoops and whatever else you'd like to talk about. I'm going to have a kind of an hour of just UA basketball and a lot of things going on in the sports world. Tom, my guy behind the mic on the other side of the glass, will be my guy, and we'll take some calls, I hope. A lot about today's press conference with Sean Miller and Christian Coloco. A fascinating gentleman, Christian Coloco, that seven-footer. 225. Great kid. Spoke to him for about 10 minutes. We did, at least. And Sean had a press conference that lasted 28 minutes. I have to say this, because Sean gets a lot of criticism for a lot of different things, but he's been fantastic this year in terms of personality. You know, he's been taking some hits for his stoic and very, very straightforward personality. And he made a couple of jokes today, and it was kind of funny. And he's more affable this year, which is fantastic for us in the media. And I think for himself, I got to applaud them. For whatever reason, it's a lot better than what he was in the past. And kudos to Sean. And not that he needs my kudos, but he was great today for 28 minutes.
You know what, Steve? I think you need that, though, in today's day and age. It's different, right? You used to read a guy's word in print. You could put whatever you wanted behind a tone, inflection, whatever. Now everything's on video. It's immediate. It's on the internet. So you can see facial expressions and rolling eyes and eyebrows raised.
Yeah, no question. In fact, I say this pretty often for guys who like to joke or kid or whatever. It doesn't translate in newspapers.
No.
Unless you say, you know, Tom said with a giggle, Tom with a laugh.
And that back then, I mean, and even now is incumbent on the reporter. That's not incumbent on, you know, you or I as a listener or viewer. It's different.
Yeah, no question. And he's done that lately. He did that a lot today, which is great. Even kind of cracked wise on himself in a funny way. Well, we're going to listen to a lot of this stuff at the 12, after the first break, about the 12, 16, 17 hour. And we'll listen to Christian as well. A little hard to understand, but if we can get some of that stuff up in the next 15 minutes, we will. Sean was very good, you know, talking about his trip to Oregon. A big, heavy task. In fact, I asked him one of those questions, win or lose, what does he hope to gain from what he sees this week? And he was pragmatic. They're going to have a hard time in Oregon specifically, and Oregon State. But, you know, if they can kind of improve, show what they can do, see what happens. And, in fact, he broke his own story today. Kind of official. We kind of knew unofficially that Nico Mannion was probably not going to come back next year. Well, today they announced that the kid from Georgetown, what's his name?
Akinjo.
Akinjo, yes. James Akinjo is coming, signed now. He's going to be on campus here pretty soon, and he'll be here next year, and that Nico will not be here. And we'll have that on tape as well. Sean talked about that it's he's gone.
Is that a surprise in any way?
No, of course not. I think it's 90% for sure that he was going before we said that. But now we know 2.5 months before that he's going to go.
Which is kind of rare that a coach would kind of... Yes. And it was a slip, I think. Do you really want to admit that far in front of March Madness, in front of the tournament?
No, but he's that guy. He has.
You think he's crafty?
Oh, he's crafty.
He's got a reason for it.
The dude is very smart, crafty, smart, savvy. He knows exactly what he's doing. I've been covering this team for 29 years, specifically 29 years, and written a few things and spent some time with him. Not a whole lot of time with Sean, but every press conference, everything he says has a purpose. That said, he's only misspoke twice probably in 11 years that I've been following him. Not misspoke. He kind of like stuttered a little bit, stammered a little bit. Stammered's probably the right word. The dude is smart. He is very smart, knows exactly every word, has a purpose. And today, I think he just said it. I mean, the last time that's happened was when we were in the final game of the year and Trier, not final game of the year, one of those final games of the year, Trier, Alkins, and Ayton were not expected to come back. He made it official. You know, these guys aren't coming back. He said it on the court. And then we were like, did he just say that? Because we all knew that, but nothing was official. The funny thing about it is, 2-3 weeks later, people, the national media were still acting like it was breaking news.
Right.
Shut up.
Right.
Shut up, because if you work for the national media, don't you pay attention?
Well, no, of course not.
Of course not, because their story is the best story, or the biggest story.
Or the only story.
Or the only story. No, you get it. You get it. Yeah.
Of course I do.
Yeah.
I've been around for a while, Steve.
You've been on a few blocks?
Might have been born at night, but it wasn't last night.
Okay, I get it. You know what I want to do? Oh, we're going to spend some time, when you and I have some time, and we're just shooting the breeze, all-time favorite cliches, or cliches that you absolutely hate?
Yeah, there's a lot of those.
There's a lot of those. A
lot of cliches.
Yes. I wasn't born last night.
Every cliche, though, there's always a grain of truth in cliches, and that's why they're cliches.
That's exactly,
But some of them are tired.
Yes, no question about that. No question about that. So we'll talk about that at some other time. But if anybody would like to call in, please do, 790-2040. I usually don't give out this number. That's to my detriment. I'd like you guys to call in and weigh in on a lot of different things. How will Arizona do this weekend on their trip to Oregon? I love the Oregon trip. That was my favorite trip of all time. I loved it. Did it 23 years and loved it. I love Eugene. Great college town. Don't like the cold, though. Have you been out there?
You know what? Oregon is one of the, I think I have 9 states left. It's the one I haven't been to yet. I've hit everything else in that area.
Yeah, what's your place you want to go? What state that you haven't been to?
Well, I'd love to go see Portland. Everybody says incredible things about Portland and the state of Oregon itself. So I already hit Alaska. I don't have Hawaii yet.
Oh, okay. Really?
Yeah.
Huh.
So everybody else who's been anywhere, it's especially on the West Coast, they're like, oh, I've been to Hawaii like 7,000 times. Like, oh, that's great. I haven't gotten there yet.
Yeah. I'd have to see North Dakota for me, South Dakota.
Yeah, the Dakotas, Idaho, Montana.
Montana, yeah.
Those are on the list.
Yeah, yeah. So, okay.
I think I managed to somehow miss Nebraska.
Oh, me too. Me too.
I don't think I've been there yet.
Yeah, me too. Probably similar, because we're in the sports field. We go to places where they send us. Yeah,
exactly. I've seen a lot of this country from the window of a bus.
Really? Oh, because of that side of the country. It's easy to get to.
Yeah, well, I mean, and traveling around with sports teams, like especially in the minors, it is bus travel.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you see some places... Yeah, it's Steve, I've seen some interesting things.
Right. So once we take this break here in about a minute or so, we're going to come back with some Sean quotes from today's press conference. Thought it was very good, 28 minutes of Sean, but we're not going to go through all that. We'll take some snippets, and we'll talk about the snippets here after the break here on 1030 The Voice. Hey, welcome back to Eye on the Ball here on 1030 The Voice. I'm your host, Steve Rivera. In studio or on the other side of the glass is Tom Callahan. We're going to play some Sean, the best of Sean Miller today. It's probably not even the best because there was a lot there. When he waxes poetic, he waxes for a long time. So you know, some shots will be about a minute, some less. But let's listen to Sean.
Which one do you want to play first, Steve?
The first one where he talks about the kid James coming in from Georgetown.
Okay.
Then him, but especially with him. And it came to us... that he was going to transfer, and he entered the portal. Certainly, we had an interest in him, but especially with the need that we have, we're going to lose Nico, and I think losing him, and looking at the guys that we're bringing in, Daylon Terry is a guy that we love. He could play anywhere on the court, including the one. But James is that he's that point guard that I think you love to have, and that he's tough. He can score. He can get his own shot. He was the Big East Freshman of the Year, and that's a really good conference. So I think that says a lot about his ability level. And so we look forward to having him. We really do. And if you look at our future, you have to remember Jordan Brown is here practicing every day and transferred from Nevada. You have Daylon. You have James Akinjo. And I feel like we're getting closer here as we move forward.
It's funny.
And it came.
It's funny we talk about this year's recruiting class, and he only has, I think, one guy, but now he has another guy, and with a guy, the kid from Nevada, they're going to be pretty good no matter what happens with the people leaving after this year, which, of course, he, like I say, he broke his own news by saying that Nico Mannion is gone after this year.
And again, not a huge surprise, but
no.
And that's why I wonder, you know, does that just kind of come out? But as you say, if he's crafty and he has a meaning behind everything, so is that supposed? What's that supposed to do for Nico Mannion, or is it supposed to do something for someone else? What do you read into that?
Good question. I saw something today that, you know, people, if a guy takes a left, people analyze it. If a guy takes a right, people analyze it. I don't know, but there's something. I don't know what
sure.
it is, but there's something. Maybe, I just don't know. But it was kind of a surprise, and we didn't, you know, look at each other and say, oh, did you just say that? We all kind of knew that there was news there, and just from that little snippet, that he was not going to come back.
It's kind of funny how everybody knows these things, but no one could really say anything or talk about it. It's weird.
Well,
my problem is,
and this is just the way it is. I don't know if it was at your previous stops. Now, given the way the media is now, it's hard to break news. It's hard to break news because everyone has access to the same thing.
Right.
And like me, let me say this. You go to a press conference, and I'm not a big Twitter guy. I just don't care for it. I'm an old crudgy guy. Okay. Crusty guy. So I do it every now and again, but I surely don't do it immediately. So we're all at the press conference. I ask questions, whatever they are, and they're specific to the story I want. But you have kids or other people in the background or in the room. Guess what they're doing? They're tweeting the information of the questions that they're not asking. Somebody else is asking.
Right.
So guess who broke the story?
Right. They did.
They did.
Because they had it out there first.
Correct. Correct. But they don't have the guts to ask the question.
Right.
Annoys the heck out of me.
Oh, I hate that. I hate the way people can steal stories and sound bites out of scrums. And if you have a completely original idea anymore, you almost have to wait and try to pull someone aside. And in a major program like this, you cannot pull a Sean Miller aside.
And you hit it on the head. When I covered Loop for 20-some years, that's exactly what I did. I waited everything out, and I would walk with him from the press conference to the car, him and Bobby, and get my own stuff so no one else would have it.
And that's old school reporting. That's how you do it.
And I had to do it only because I worked for the afternoon paper.
Right.
So everyone was going to see it in the morning paper. So if they wanted something different, they had to read me.
Right.
If that makes any sense.
Yeah.
And I would get stuff that they were on deadline they couldn't get because they didn't have time to walk with him. So eventually they caught on and they would follow me. Not to say it's good or bad. I'm not tooting my own horn. It's just to be different because you don't get different anymore. It's very rare you get different.
Everybody says the same thing 5 seconds apart.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And in fact, I asked you, what about Twitter? Did you go on Twitter today? Well, you saw it here on Twitter, right? I mean, you
right.
didn't see it live, and I'm thinking, who did it? Well, it's whoever did it first. You know I didn't do it, but I asked some questions.
Right.
So, you know, that's the thing I hate about journalism nowadays. Although you still get some people chasing stuff down. Let's go to the next one. He was waxing poetic. He mentioned something earlier about he trusts or likes a Ken Joe because he's the biggest freshman player of the year.
Yes.
And then he talks about something else about him.
You know, I'm very familiar with another Big East freshman of the year. He was an amazing player at Pitt. Me. So I have a lot of respect for Big East freshman of the year. I'm kidding, but I'm not kidding.
That's funny. You know, that's funny because, you know, he doesn't do that very often.
Right.
He's not self-effacing. He's very rare with that. But we all got what he was saying. You know, he rarely goes there because let me tell you something. Do you ever – you're probably too young. He played 20 years ago. You must have been, 17? Well, how old were you?
20 years ago, I would have been 23.
No, 30 years ago. I'm sorry. 89.
So I would have been 13.
13. So he played. He was a heck of a good player.
Yeah.
Intense. In fact, I did a story on Sean 5-6 years ago when he was doing really well with the guys coming up. And I talked to some of his former teammates. And the one thing that you knew Sean was good at, leading the guys in the backcourt, but his eyes, you can still see it. You know, he's a very intense dude. If he's locked in, you know it from the eyes. And he did that in press conferences a lot. This year, he's been great. Like I say, I'm very impressed with how he's handled himself with the press lately.
Well, Steve, is that just mellowing with age a little bit, loosening up a little?
I don't know. I think maybe he got talked to. He says, embrace the media. We're not here to kill you. We're not here to.
Right.
Just go with the flow and be good. There's one right there. Did you have it right there? He talked about Pritchard right here.
Yes.
Go with that one. Can you play that one?
Sure.
You'll face this guy. This guy is very good.
Okay. Let me bring this up for you. And here we go.
Well, it's a team game. So Peyton Pritchard is Oregon's heart and soul. He's shooting 50% from the field, and he averages 19 points per game. I feel like he's played against us 20 times, and in fact he's played against us I think 8 or 9 times maybe. He had a big role as a freshman, and he's played on 3 excellent teams. He's now played on 4 excellent Oregon teams, and he's been a big reason on each of those teams that they've been good. He has the experience, he has the know-how, in addition to his overall talent, but he means a lot to Oregon. Just watching them on offense, he not only scores himself, but he might be the best in our conference at getting his teammates shots. And it'll be a big test for our team. Nico is going to be fine. He's a really big factor on our team. He's having a great season. And the only difference between the two of them is, Peyton Pritchard's been through the league three times, whereas this is the first road game Nico's ever played in the Pac-12. He'll get that experience here soon enough.
This is going to be the toughest road trip of the season. Washington State is going to be okay on the scale. I would put this one, Washington State, Colorado, Utah, possibly. I'm not even sure they take that trip. Stanford, Cal, not so much. USC, UCLA, not so much. Oregon's very good. Obviously, it's a top 10 team, and Oregon State's much improved. And they come at you differently. Because you have to get up emotionally for the Oregon game, and then you have to follow it with that second game where you'd think you don't have to be emotionally ready, but you have to be because you just played on an emotional game.
And that's where you can get steamrolled.
Exactly. We've talked about that last week, didn't we? It's these emotional trap games.
Trap games. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yep, absolutely.
And they're notorious. There's your cliche, the trap games. But guess what? It's a truth.
Yep, trap game. And you know what? So much of it is mental, because we know these guys. Look, I don't want to hear about a college kid is tired and can't play 2 games back to back. Yes, they can.
Yeah, no, you said it. I think the one thing I've learned being in the business I've been for a long time now, people don't understand how mental plays a part. Being mentally prepared plays a part in every game, every night. Because if you're not mentally ready, for whatever reason, maybe you think you're better than the next guy, or you just broke up with your girlfriend, or whatever, your grades are bad, whatever. People don't understand it's just not talent versus talent. That mental capacity and mental preparedness is a huge factor.
And, Steve, and a lot of that is on the coach, but some of that I think is something that, comes with just maturity of the players. And so we're talking yesterday with Moreno and everybody about how, you have these young kids, you turn it over. You can be physically ready for the NBA, but are you mentally ready to make that jump? I think very few 18, 19, 20-year-old, and I'll call them kids.
Yeah.
Are ready to make that
jump. No, and they're doing it all the time now. In fact, that was one of the things that when Bibby came out in 1998, and he was a 19-year-old, I think, at the time, and they says, okay, you're going to be hanging around men all the time or playing ball with the men. What are you going to do? Where are you going to go? You can't get into clubs, wink, wink. You can't. You're going to have a lot of money to yourself. What are you going to do? What are you going to do? Everyone else is out doing what they're doing, living life, and you're a 19, 20-year-old. He did fine, obviously, and they do fine. You find things to do.
It's interesting. I don't know if they do this in other sports, but I've seen in hockey where the young rookie, the 18, 19-year-old, will move in with a veteran and his family and kind of, live in the basement or the spare bedroom or wherever. And be part of the family of that veteran.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if that's a thing in other sports or not.
Yeah, I'm not too sure. How does it happen often where the 18, 19-year-old gets to play in the league right away?
No, it's kind of rare, but there are pretty famous examples of guys who have done it and have gone to you know, be a part of things. And so I'm not saying they all do this,
sure,
but sometimes you do see that, like a veteran will literally take them into his or her house and say, come on, you live with me, and I'll kind of take you under my wing and show you life off the ice, away from the locker room, away from the rain, what it takes to be a professional. That's the other thing. What it takes to be a college athlete is miles apart from what it takes to be a professional athlete.
No question. No question. Well, that's why only, what, 2%, 3% make it eventually?
I keep talking about the funnel getting smaller all the time.
Yeah, yeah. Everyone thinks they can do it or has the potential to do it or has the ability to do it. Well, you may think that, but the people paying you may not.
That's very true. Someone's got to want to pay you.
Right, 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 right. It's like when we talk about this, I don't know if this applies. A friend of mine or a couple of friends of mine have these memorabilia collections that are worth a lot of money. You know how much it's worth to me?
Nothing.
Why?
Because you don't put any value in the signature.
Exactly.
There you go.
Exactly. It's only as worth as what you want to pay for it.
What someone will pay for it,
mm-hmm,
that's what it's worth. I completely agree.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Same like the pros.
Sure.
This guy's good. Well, maybe he won't fit us or whatever. He's as good as people think he's going to be and how much we're going to pay him.
Yeah.
How many times do you think that's fizzled out? It happens all the time.
More than have succeeded, more than going the other way succeed.
Right.
For sure.
Right, right. People don't talk about that.
Well, no, because that's the seedy underbelly.
Right.
Everybody wants to talk about the success, and they want to emulate the success.
The Kobe Bryants, the LeBron James, because you want to be the next guy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Steve, I want to be the next guy.
I want to be the next Brad Pitt.
I want to be the next lottery winner.
Yeah, yeah, let's do it. Let's go buy the ticket now. Let's also take a break here in a sec. Ready?
Are
we good to go?
Sure.
I still want to be the next Brad Pitt.
Okay. We'll work on that.
Good luck. Good luck with that. Yeah.
Hey, if you have money, it doesn't matter what you look like.
I will stop being on radio. I'll go on TV.
There you go.
Here we go. We'll take a break here on 1030 The Voice. Hey, welcome back to Eye on the Ball here on 1030 The Voice. Trusted local news and talk. I'm Steve Rivera, your host, in with Tom Callahan behind the screen here. We're going to continue to find some snippets from Christian Coloco and Sean Miller. I thought Sean Miller was very good today, very on. Personality-wise and with information. But I also want to say, I saw the ESPN bracketology. I don't really put too much stock into it, but I'm going to talk about it anyway. It's my show. I have an hour. But right now they're fifth, a five seed in the West, and that'll change from whatever. But I'll make this prediction in early January. They will be no better than a three seed and no worse than a five seed.
Okay, so you don't think they're going to be able to get into a two-seed spot?
No.
Although, as you said last show, yesterday, you don't think there's much difference between two and a four?
No, no, not this year. Not this year. It's just too much craziness. In fact, I try to have Sean bite on this twice now. He doesn't do this to me anymore, so he didn't bite. I asked him how difficult how crazy the Pac-12 conference is. We all see it. I asked him Saturday. He didn't go there because he said our next game is against Oregon. And I asked him about it today, and he says, well, there's a lot of parity. He's proud of the league because it's top to bottom, probably one of the better ones now since he's been there. The administrators are doing a great job of making this happen. He even talked or mentioned Scott, the commissioner, Larry Scott, and how well he's done with it. I probably disagree with that for a second. But my problem, and we talked about this yesterday, to me it's like all the teams are going to cannibalize each other. And that's not a good thing. Although he says he might come to that, but it's a good league. I don't know.
Well, I guess that's what parity is, isn't it, at the end of the day? I mean, you want to know, you know, that you play against tough competition as much as possible. It should, theoretically, help your team and your ranking
to be
in a tough conference or division.
He did mention that they go into the season or to the Pac-12 season highly thought of because each team or many of the teams have very good records going in. They played, like Oregon, played some tough schedule and played a tough schedule and have some credibility. Street cred, if you will, in the college basketball world. Arizona doesn't have that to this point. In fact, he mentioned how good their schedule was and how good Oregon's schedule was, and they came out of it pretty good. But right now, I think that the Pac-12 will have about five teams in the tournament, which is a good thing. Will they go far? We'll see. We'll see. Capable of going for Oregon, Arizona, maybe. Washington, maybe. But in fact, the ESPN thing said that Washington was one of their last four in. Again, means nothing.
Right.
Means nothing.
You know what? If you catch fire at the right time and become the best team in the nation for 2 weeks, right, you win.
Yeah. Well, let's play three.
That's it.
Play 3 weeks.
Well, 3 weeks, yeah.
Arizona had to do that in 97.
It's only because they put the final game 9 months after the tournament ends, really. I mean,
that's football.
You get your semifinal, and then the national championship will be played next month. What?
Yeah. Well, that's what it is for football.
I know. It's ridiculous.
Did you find me some new stuff on GoAZ?
You know what? I was holding on to this one here that you've got, Sean Miller talking about Dana Altman.
Is it good enough to go?
Yeah, we can run it. We'll just say it might be a little quiet, so listeners, you might have to really sharpen your ears for this one.
Okay, let's go. He talks about Oregon coach Dana Altman.
A lot of things about him, number one is he's one of our game's best coaches, and he's been that even before he went to Oregon. Coached against him at Creighton. If you watched his teams play at Creighton during his 13 years, they were incredibly hard to play against, and he has a unique style. He's brought that unique style to Oregon, and he's really found a niche. I mean, they've become one of college basketball's best programs, and certainly one of the best here in the Pac-12. The other thing I really respect about him is, he's a really good guy. What you see is what you get, you really learn to respect that. And that, he's very substance related and really good person. He's been great to me.
Yeah, there's a lot of respect for two of the best product coaches in the league. Dana's done a fantastic job at Oregon. Sean has done what he's done here. A lot to like on both ends. Winners like winners, and the funny thing about it is Oregon's won six of the last eight games with Arizona, and it's going to take a lot for Arizona to win up in Eugene on Thursday night. It should be a lot of fun, though. Good game to watch. We'll see. We'll see. And then they got to turn around. This is that four-game stretch where they go, not four-game. They have a four-day break, kind of. They play Thursday, come back on Sunday, and play against Oregon State late into the night, and then come back right after the game on their charter flight. I used to like those four-day trips because you had like a day off, but you still had to write on that Saturday. There's also some good stuff with Christian Coloco, who was there. A little hard to understand, but what you like about him is he's a good dude and very affable, very almost self-effacing too, 7 foot, about 220, and kind of living the life, because few people thought he would play at all this year, and he's going to be a big factor, and he's getting more playing time and more playing time. Have you listened to some of this yet?
I have not, and it's if you tell me what you're looking for, Steve, I can dive in there.
You're good at this. We'll play it, and then we'll cut out of it once there's a good break. Is that cool?
You flatter me.
Yes. Well, work like your life is dependent on it.
Okay, no pressure. No pressure from a press conference. All right, here we go. No, this is Christian Coloco,
yes,
at today's press conference. And this is courtesy of GoAZ Cats.
Yes.
I started playing basketball like when I was 10 or 11. It was just one time a week, just for fun. But like when I was like 15 or 16, and I started like growing, realized like basketball could be something that could help me like become like, help my parents like paying for my school, all that. So that's where I really started. My favorite player like growing up was always Kevin Durant. That's why I wear number 35. But I also used to watch video of like Hakeem Olajuwon, like right now Jordan Bede, like big man, like Pascal Siakam. I love all those guys. So yeah, but my idol was always Kevin Durant.
Why?
Maybe because he's like a little bit skinny like me, body type, and then it's like, for his size, he's like he's like, he played like a guard for like being like 6'11", 7 feet. So it's pretty impressive. So that's why.
Do you try to emulate any parts of his game?
Yeah, sometimes, but like coach me won't let me. I think my confidence grew pretty much like just by doing my job, you know, just doing what the coaches want me to do, like be ready every time, every game. Like if I get to the game, even if I play only like 2 minutes, just be ready and do your job and come out of the game knowing that you did the best you could. And that's basically how my confidence grew. I think it was definitely when Stone got injured. That's where I had more play time and I just took the opportunity to show that I can play and that just do my job, block shot, rebound the ball, and just kind of help my team. Yeah, it was definitely challenging because, you know, as a basketball player, you always want to play. And it was kind of tough for me just to be sitting on the bench every day looking at the other guys play. But I talked with the coaches, like, plenty of time, and he just told me to be ready every time. We never know. Like, I might have my chance, and when I get my chance, just play and just do the best you can to help the team. And that's basically what I'm doing right now. Yeah, definitely, because I think practices for us is, like, sometimes harder than the actual game because like we've been going at each other during practices pretty hard, so it's like I think you really helped me. Or I don't know, just keep doing what I'm doing right now. Probably why not like keep helping my team like offensively. I think right now I'm defensively I'm doing a pretty good job. I think I can help my team more offensively. How we do that? Yeah, I'm definitely looking to put more muscle. Right now I already gained like 20 pounds, so. I'm still looking at you put like another 20 pounds.
what's your target?
I don't know. Right now, I'm actually like 220 right now. So I don't know. At the end of this year, I want to be like, if I can, like 225. And by the beginning of next season, why not like 235? So yeah. I've been doing like a lot of strength training. Like I've been lifting more than the other guys. Like I got some extra lifts every week. And I think it's just basically you're just by eating. You have to eat more than you used to do. So yeah, that's what I'm doing right now. I mean, Chisholm be great since I got here. You know, one of the reasons I came to Chisholm was just because of the weather. You know, I'm not used to the cold, so I was pretty happy to have a place like Arizona when it's not cold all year. And like, yeah, it's like pretty much similar to back home, like with the sun every time. So yeah, I really like Chisholm, and yeah. It's pretty big. It's a pretty good city. Like everyone loves basketball. So yeah, definitely. Yeah. Having hands like little chairs. I mean, I love that. So I love that. That's giving me more confidence. Like getting in the game. Like doing my job and knowing that the fans love what I'm doing. So yeah.
Tucson's one of those great college towns where, if you go to college and you're a star or a star player, people love you.
And they always will.
And they always will, exactly. And if you do really, really well, you probably never have to buy a beer in your life.
Yeah, I could see that. I could see it because it's, you know, like we talked about with the basketball program, how long do you trade on your reputation? Well, quite possibly forever.
Oh, yeah, right. In fact, we joke about this all the time. And I'll forget his name just now, but I know it. Back when Arizona under Sean had a chance to... go to the Elite Eight, had a chance to get to the Final Four, and the kid from San Diego, and God, he missed a three-pointer that would have gotten Arizona into the Final Four, and it's going to come to me. If anybody is listening, you can tell me who it was. He would have hit that three-pointer, would have got him to the Final Four. He would have never had to buy another beer in town.
But instead, he had to buy everybody else.
Joel Horn. Rimmed at the back of the rim and bounced out.
He was a guy buying lunch for the duration after that one.
It was like, oh, man, he just hit that shot and come back and be a hero. Isn't funny?
Isn't that what we all want?
Fate, that's how fate is.
It's fickle.
It's very fickle, exactly right. Let's take a quick break here, our final one, here on 1030 The Voice. Hey, welcome back to Eye on the Ball here on 1030 The Voice. I'm Steve Rivera. How is it? I don't know, maybe it's just you, Tom, and I'm just kind of, I don't know what the word is. I'm just whatever. But I like the music you play, but is it random? I can't ask you this all the time.
It is random from a standpoint of, so basically think of it as you've cut up all the songs that you wanted and uh-huh. put them in a hat. And so the hat is computer picked every time. The next song that comes out of the hat, the computer picks it. Yeah. But you have to put the songs in the hat to begin with.
Well, you're lucky day. You always like the music that you play or the computer plays during that day.
So, well, and the credit will go back to you then, because aren't you the one who filled the hat in the first place with songs?
Sometimes it does it. Sometimes I've heard that song a few too many times.
There are a few times, Steve, I will be honest with you, when it just doesn't tell me, like in this case, so the computer I'm beholden to just told me that was cut number two. I didn't know it was Blister in the Sun by the Violent Femmes until it started playing. But there are other ones that are on here. I know what they are and I can play them.
Oh, okay. I get it.
So sometimes, yes, I do try to pull a rabbit out of a hat for you.
Thank you very much, sir. Hey, anybody wants to call me, please do 790-2040. Talk about Arizona basketball. Talk about Arizona women's basketball. Huge games for them this weekend. Oregon and Oregon State here. Really going to be put to the test this weekend after losing for the first time on Saturday over the weekend.
Well, and Steve, earlier this week, or was it last week? Geez, they all run together. Must have been last week. But you had a guest on who had been covering the team and said, no, they're not going to be undefeated all year. Now they're going to come up against some tough competition. Right. It was close, but they still did lose one. Does that take pressure off?
The losses?
Yeah. Does that once you get your first loss, does that kind of free you a little?
Yes. You know, I firmly believe that, having been a pseudo-athlete when I was a kid. When you're playing and you're playing and you're playing and you're winning and all the success, it depends on what level. I think a lot of it gets to your head. You start believing the press clippings. You start believing what people talk about. There's always that humbling experience of getting beat. It helps, I think, if you're that ego-driven guy that you think that, well, our poop doesn't stink. Eventually, guess what? It does. I think it's humbling. It's refreshing. Not that you want to lose purposely, but sometimes it's a good thing. A lot of times it's a good thing. Pressure. You also have to know who you are in terms of how good you are. In fact, I think Sean's very good at this. He talked about this today. And when I asked him, you may lose two games, you may not play this well this weekend, but what do you hope to see? And he kind of almost said that if we lose, I'm talking about him now, if we lose, he just wants to make sure that they get something out of it. Because guess what? You going in, it's going to take a tall task. You know it's going to take a tall task to win there, even on a good day. Because you're good.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Sure. I mean, if you give your best effort and you get beat by a better team,
you're good.
Yes.
You're good. In fact, the one of those times that happened in 1987, Arizona played Stanford and Cal. I don't know which way it was. I can't remember. I think it was Stanford and Cal. They lost both games. They finished fifth in the league, and they didn't lose again. And they won the national title. But they saw there in the losing that they could play well and managed to play close against two very good teams. And if they continue that road, who knows what's going to happen. 6 games later, they were the national champion.
And maybe you find out, hey, you know, our post game's not where it needs to be right now. Or, you know, and we've talked about the shooting, but I mean, shooting is something that is individual to the player. But maybe systems, you know, you look at something and say, hey, we need to do this better. We need to improve.
So yesterday we took our, not a poll, but we took our ideas of what's going to be the demise of the team at some point. Well, when it matters.
Yes.
You said?
Shooting.
I said?
Shooting.
What did Moreno say?
He said not enough touches for
Zeke.
Zeke, yep.
So I asked Ray, our guy here at the studio.
Okay.
You know what he said?
Shooting.
Not playing as a team.
Oh.
So okay. I said, that's good. Without kind of prompting him, and I told him eventually what we said, I kind of agree with that. However, it's not like that hasn't happened to this point. So I'm not going to fault his answer, but they've played as a team all year, although Sean would maybe disagree, given that I asked him about this today, about the roles and what he's hoping for. And he kind of just said that he's hoping for Zeke to get more touches. I kind of wanted to go specific with him with the roles of Zeke, Mannion, and Josh Green. But he said, I'm not going to point names out or whatever. But it's very obvious. We talked about this yesterday. Get the ball to Zeke, Mannion, and Green. Shoot a little less.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or make better decisions on your shots.
Yes. And that is something It is coachable, I think, to see and recognize opportunities,
yeah,
whether you're going to shoot or pass, and in ways you should treat those opportunities. I mean, that's really, that's difficult, isn't it? I mean, to get a guy in the face of, here comes the defender, make a quick decision, make the right decision.
Oh, right. Mm-hmm.
But you, that's why you drill. That's why you drill.
And that's why you've been playing this game to be this level all your life. You know, it's like, what do they say? Well, you'll get the mistakes out of them, or you'll learn from this. They've been playing since they were eight. Every situation's different, a different time and circumstance. But they know what they're doing. They know what they're doing. They know a good decision from a bad decision. Especially, it's like Mike Bibby back in the day, very smart guy. I don't think he took a whole heck of a lot of shots, but he knew how to run his team, and he ran it very well.
Right.
I think that's what they want from Mannion. Just run the team, make smart decisions. Everyone knows you can play. You're going to be in the league. I already announced it today. So don't worry about that. Just play. And you know what? Maybe that was the reason why he said that today.
What impact does Koloko have coming in? What do you see?
The rest of the way? I don't know, but a scale of 1 to 10, a 3 or a 4. Because he is what he is. They asked him about him being a project. He said, yeah, I've heard it most of my life. But he's going to be a factor, but not a huge factor. On a scale, like I say, 1 to 10, maybe a 3, a 4. Maybe here and there with a shot block or something. Some scores, 8 points, 4 rebounds, which is great because you didn't expect that to happen. But more power to him and them because they need him.
Is he the kind of guy who is this a, hey, look at what we got coming next year? In a way, you're almost helping your recruiting efforts for next year, and you're, hey, this is already we're looking forward to, and fans, hey, this is what's coming up next around the block, because you did, and you went ahead and admitted today that, you know, you're losing a big piece of the pie.
Right. For Christian, too?
Yeah.
No question. And people, especially in this town, I think everywhere, they love the guys who come off the bench and do really well in the limited time that they have, because you don't get to see him that often. And you're not going to see him very often. I think if he averages 8 minutes, 10 minutes a game, that's probably perfect. He's not going to shoot but 3 or 4 times. Maybe he pulled down some rebounds, 5 or 6. It's all gravy. It's all gravy because you have Stone Giddings back. You have Chase Jeter, who's you know, does what he does. He's not spectacular, but he gets the job done. Then you have Zeke Nnaji, who's going to be playing a lot. Who knows what the situation with Ira Lee is going to be, because he's more of a garbage, get to the basket, play some minutes and give other guys some rest.
Is the day of the truly big, like 7-plus footer, is that over?
Yes. Unless it, you know, corduroys might come back.
I like corduroys.
Flare bottom jeans.
But, I mean,
yes.
It's just the game's changed.
It's evolved. Yeah, it's movement. Didn't you talk about this? No, it rated. The ball movement back, forth, in and out and back. And then you could be, a guy could be right in the basket. No, pass it out to the three-point line. I think so. And he's going to be a stretch seven. You know, before you had stretch fours, he's a stretch seven. It's like Channing Frye, a seven-footer who didn't play near the basket. By the end, he was a seven-footer who shot three-pointers. And did very well with it.
And if you're athletic, I guess you can get away with it. But, you know, that just it's weird to me that we come out of the era of the dunk and that power basketball era, which, quite frankly, I found pretty boring.
What era? Time period?
Pretty much like the, I'll call it the Jordan era.
Okay.
Yeah, once the dunk became the thing, late 80s through the 90s.
Yeah, the bad boy Detroit Pistons.
Yeah. Like once that became the thing, And I don't mind playing hard and playing physical, but I also like defense and shooting, you know, and it's every highlight on ESPN's a dunk.
No question. You don't see, what is that phrase I use? It's the offensive players drive the Cadillacs.
Yes.
And the defensive players take the bus or whatever. Do you see defense? Do you watch NBA games?
I only laugh because, oh my goodness, is that hard to watch? NBA basketball is
I don't watch it until April, May.
Yeah. I mean, like the playoffs maybe, but even then I can't watch the East.
Even do you see defense?
No. Not until the last 2 minutes of the fourth quarter. Even the first half, I would argue the first half of any NBA game just doesn't matter. Because they don't really start playing until the second half.
No question. In fact, I've said this, I don't know, I probably said this on the show a time or two. I said this 25 years ago when I covered the Suns for a little bit and then some of the NBA. Nothing matters until the fourth quarter. Don't even pay attention to it.
Then they start pounding it in the fourth quarter.
You could be down by 20 and still have a chance.
Sure.
Happens all the time.
Yeah, and it's just, and the gap between the haves and the have-nots is massive.
Very much so. Very much so. What else is going on? I know that, did you see that, just real quick, I'm going to throw, we got a couple of minutes. The Boston Red Sox are now being alleged to have cheated.
I didn't see that. I saw the whole thing with the Astros and the sign stealing. Well, what the Red Sox do?
Same thing.
Okay.
Video using stealing signs during the season, not during the playoffs, I think it is. It's out there.
Stealing signs is not like it used to be, Steve, where you had to kind of lean over from the dugout and try to see the catcher. You know, now it's sophisticated.
Oh, yeah.
But, I don't know. It's always been in baseball. Is it on the up and up? No, but it's always been a part of baseball.
Sure. Mm-hmm. I'm sure it's other things, too. Well, football, you see it, or from the Patriots, they've been notorious for doing a lot of different
things. Oh, my goodness. Don't get me started on the Patriots.
Yeah. But you must be very happy they're gone.
I was. I was very happy. I was definitely a Tennessee Titans fan for one day.
And a lot of people.
I bet.
Hey, good to see you, Tom. I guess we'll see you tomorrow, huh?
Yeah, it's Tuesday, so yeah, I'll be here.
Okay. Thanks, everybody, for listening. Maybe get some calls in the next couple days. Talk about Arizona's game with Oregon here. Thursday night, and good luck to everybody. Have a good, safe night here on 10:30 The Voice.